لله تعالى يمكن يكتب بوينت اكتر في الديمونيشن تتعمل من ذلك الديمونيشن ان شاء الله. لكن مدينة ليه يوميها تستشل اقول الشرين هي الشرين يوم السيبة وانا يتصل من معكم من الاسم سيبة يسيبة مثل الزكرة والمساعة سيبة العيدة وكوانية السيبة الحمد لله أنا كان يستكد ما يفرش مثل الدوكر تعالى يقول لكم محمد شاكير حميدين في هذا الموضوع المتنسي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد respective brothers and elders in Islam there are many hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks and warns us about a great spiritual sickness a sickness which destroys all good actions a sickness which pleases the nafs whilst displeasing Allah this is the sickness of pride having a superiority complex deeming oneself greater than the other is a disastrous and removing all good from the person and bringing evil and arrogance and other dislike qualities in him, eventually becoming the most debased and hated person in the eyes of Allah and people. Just as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who obliterates himself for Allah's sake, Allah elevates him, and he is insignificant in his own eyes but great in the eyes of people. And whoever entertains pride, Allah debases him, and he is insignificant in the eyes of people. But great in his own. There was a saint who was about to depart from this world. Those who are around him were reciting the kalima so he may follow suit. But then he began to say, not as yet, not as yet. When he came back to his senses, they asked him, we were encouraging you to recite the kalima, but you were replying with not as yet. Why were you saying this? He replied, Shaitan was saying to me, you have gained salvation, you have escaped my grasp. So I said to him, my soul is still in my body, I have not gained salvation from you as yet. Only when I die with the kalima and my mind and my soul departs from my body with my mind will I have secured salvation from you. Respected brothers, this incident just shows us the amount of effort that Shaitan puts in trying to spoil a person through pride. Shaitan attempts to lure the saint into believing that his piety and actions have saved him so that even a small amount of pride may enter his heart. This also shows us the detrimental consequences caused by pride, so much so that even a mere thought entertained, for example, I am better than him because I have more wealth, this can earn the displeasure of Allah and take a person to Jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person who has an atom's weight of kibar in his heart will not enter Jannah. Someone asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person likes to have good clothes and shoes, is this still pride? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. Pride is refuting the truth and treating people with scorn. In this hadith, such a grave warning is given to a person who even has a small amount of pride, such that he will not enter Jannah. So what to say regarding a person whose heart is drowning in it? Kibar is not only a sin itself, it welcomes many other ailments in it, in the heart. Foolishness, miserliness, it destroys the reward of all ibadat. The second part of this hadith is where a sahabi asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding a person that loves good clothes. What a beautiful answer Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave. Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying this gave an indication that there's nothing wrong with wearing fine clothing. In fact, it is something loved by Allah. However, the problem comes when al-kibru batru al-haq wa ghamtu an-nas, looking down on others because of something they may not have. When this seeps into the heart, then an action which seems so beloved to Allah becomes a means of his anger. And ghamtu an-nas, treating people with scorn. A person thinks you are his best friend, but behind his back you're backbiting and swearing him. This is an example of ghamtu an-nas. What if that person is more beloved to Allah because of a certain action of his? A father will never befriend a person who ill-treats his his children. In the same way, Allah will never befriend someone who hurts his servants. Respected brothers and elders, these few words are just a mere glimpse in trying to understand the reality of pride, because it's the sickness of the heart. A person may not even know he's been afflicted with it. This is why the ulama emphasizes on pondering over the fact that although I may have excellence in me, I did not create it. Allah conferred it to me. He can snatch it away whenever He wills. Although this person may not have it, it may well be that Allah blesses him with it. Treat people who you deem lower than yourself in a good manner and respect him. It is our duty to seek guidance from the pious, those who are the epitomes of humility, so that the heart who once cried, "Myself, my wealth, my food, my clothes," may now become the heart which cries out for the ummah. May Allah give us the ability to remove all sin from our lives. Ameen. Wealth, race, worship, physique. There are so many aspects in which I cannot accept defeat. Pride was in my heart. It had to be destroyed. Iblis was winning. His poison must have been deployed. Superior to the next man I thought to be, and that's why all my actions lacked sincerity. It was a disease of the heart. It had to be contained. For pride is a quality which one should be ashamed. It is time to get closer to Allah. It is time for reformation. Whilst on the plains of Qiyamah, I may suffer humiliation. وَآخْرِ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأوحي إلى نوح أنه لن يؤمن من قومك إلا من قد آمن فلا تبتئس بما كانوا يفعلون. واصنع الفلك بأعيننا ووحينا ولا تخاطبني في الذين ظلموا إنهم مغرقون. ويصنع الفلك وكلما مر عليه ملأ من قومه سخروا منه قال إن تسخروا منا فإنا نسخر منكم كما تسخرون. فسوف تعلمون من يأتيه عذاب يخزيه ويحل عليه عذاب مقيم. حتى إذا جاء أمرنا وفارت النور قل نحمل فيها من كل زوجين اثنين وأهلك إلا من سبق عليه القول ومن آمن وما آمن معه إلا قليل. وقال اركبوا فيها بسم الله مجريها ومرساها إن ربي لغفور رحيم. وهي تجري بهم في موج كالجبال ونادى نوح ابنه وكان في معزل يا بني اركب معنا ولا تكن مع الكافرين. قال سآوي إلى جبل يعصمني من الماء قال لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله إلا من رحم وحال بينهما الموج فكان من المغرقين. وقيل يا أرض ابلعي ماءك ويا سماء أقلعي وغيض الماء وقضي الأمر واستوت على الجودي وقيل بعدا للقوم الظالمين. ونادى نوح ربه فقال رب إن ابني من أهلي وإن وعدك الحق وأنت أحكم الحاكمين. قال يا نوح إنه ليس من أهلك إنه عمل غير صالح فلا تسألني ما ليس لك به علم إني أعذك أن تكون من الجاهلين. قال رب إني أعوذ بك أن أسألك ما ليس لي به علم وإلا تغفر لي وترحمني أكن من الخاسرين. قيل يا نوح اهبط بسلام منا وبركات عليك وعلى أمم ممن معك وأمم سنمتعهم ثم يمسهم منا عذاب أليم. تلك من أنباء الغيب نوحيها إليك ما كنت تعلمها أنت ولا قومك من قبل هذا فاصبر إن العاقبة للمتقين. صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال الله تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ذلك عالم الغيب والشهادة العزيز الرحيم الذي أحسن كل شيء خلقه وبدأ خلق الإنسان من طين ثم جعل نسله من سلالة من ماء مهين ثم سواه ونفخ فيه من روحه وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون. صدق الله العظيم. Allah has given us this day, a day of reflection, a day of gathering and a day of shukr. Allah has favored His knowledge upon our brothers. May Allah make this a significant milestone in their lives that will take them to the highest stages of Jannah and earn them the mercy of Allah. With this, my respected elders and brothers, comes the end of ignorance. The ayat read from the Surah Sajda as follows. It is He who has knowledge of the unseen and the seen. He is mighty, the most merciful. He has beautified the creation of everything and originated the creation of man from sand. He then made man's progeny from a product of lowly water. He then perfected him, blew his spirit into him, and granted you ears, eyes, and hearts. Little is the gratitude you show. This ayah speaks about three things: greatness of Allah, creation of everything, but specifically man, and the little to no gratitude shown by man. In a lengthy ahadith, an encounter between Jibreel alayhi salam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place, wherein five questions were asked, three directly highlighting the journey of a Muslim. These questions are, what is Islam, what is Iman, and what is Ihsan? Today, inshallah, I will touch upon Ihsan. Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. One of the main characteristics of someone with Ihsan is that they practice shukr, a deep, true shukr. The best form of shukr is to take care of the favors placed upon us. If someone respectable gave us a gift, how would we treat it? We would treat it with love and respect, equal to the status the person holds in our hearts. On a more apparent level, Allah has given us the gift of Islam, a path to walk, the gift of Iman to cultivate. Allah created us, perfected us, and given us ears, eyes, and hearts, and yet our ihsan towards Him is still little. It is said to this effect, there are three things Allah loves: a heart that is grateful, a tongue that is in dhikr, and a body in any condition that is in the worship and remembrance of Allah. Next part of this lengthy hadith is about the hour and the signs of the hour. Jibreel alayhi salam asked a question to this effect. Inform me regarding its signs. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a female slave gives birth to a female master, and that you will see barefooted, naked, poor shepherds competing to make tall buildings. The hadith speaks to one truth. We do not have time. The meeting of Allah is close. Death is close, and death is the start of our judgment. There is no guaranteed amount of time we have left. If we all guaranteed 60 years on this earth, from the time that we have used up, are we ready to see Allah? I want to end up with one more hadith of glad tidings from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to this effect, verily deen began strange, and one day soon it will return to how it began. Glad tidings to the strangers. There are those who reform what the people spoiled after me of my sunnah. May Allah allow us to reaffirm our intention to walk the path of Islam, to fight, to hold on to our iman in every condition. May Allah keep our tongues and hearts moist in the dhikr and open the doors of ihsan for us. May Allah make us from the strange, the reformers of His deen, the students of deen that are grateful for the knowledge that we have, no matter how little we think it is. Jazakallah khair. We say Jazakallah to Tariq Muhammad. In the times we're living and the struggles we're facing, we look for an antidote to every disease, to brighten up our appearance. There's no other cure than this in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, نَدَّرَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا سَمِعَ مِنَّا حَدِيثًا فَبَلَّغَهُ كَمَا سَمِعَهُ. That may Allah Ta'ala brighten and give nur on the face of a person who hears a hadith, a statement from me, and conveys it just as he heard it. We therefore call upon a group of his students, amongst many who have learned these hadith derived from Zadu Talibin, with their translation, narrating them in hope that Allah Ta'ala lighten each and every one of our faces, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اتق الله حيثما كنت.
نبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: فيها الله وما يعار.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الغيبة أشد من الزنا.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that backbiting is more severe than adultery.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the fastest dua to get accepted by Allah is the dua of an absent person for an absent person.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الطهور شطر الإيمان.
نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هي نفس حق الإيمان.
Allah. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that فَرُبَّ مُنْبَلِّغٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ سَامِعٍ, that perhaps the one who that hadith is conveyed to, he will understand it better and pass it on than the one who he heard it from. May Allah Ta'ala make us understand it better, just as how it was narrated to us, and pass it on just as how it was conveyed to us. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the noble Quran, مَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Whoever saves a single life, it is as if he has saved all of humanity. Accompanied with that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on many occasions aided and cured many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated the wound of Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered aid in many ways, including using honey, cupping, etc. Alhamdulillah, with the intention of fulfilling the sunnah, the boys of Madrasa Radatul Islah have studied and practiced a basic first aid course under professional medical guidance. I will call upon two students to demonstrate for us just one of the many protocols they have learned. The first student is Muhammad Chatia, and the second student, there's no need for introduction for the student. Many of you might have heard of Ubaidullah. Whoever knows Ubaidullah, then Alhamdulillah. Whoever doesn't know him, Allah Ta'ala grant you an understanding, inshallah. So they will demonstrate for you, if a person, you find a person unconscious in a surrounding, then what you do. So the first step that you do will begin, the purpose of a first aider is, number one, to preserve life, number two, to prevent further injury, and number three, to promote healing. So the first thing you should do when you come to a scene is check for any hazards. If there is any hazards, remove the hazards out of the way. Thereafter, introduce yourself to the patient. If there is no response, then inform a bystander nearby to call the ambulance by calling 10177. Thereafter, check for the protocol called ABC. ABC stands for airways, breathing and circulation. Look, listen and feel. If there is no pulse, then cardiopulmonary resuscitation, known as CPR, should begin with 30 compressions, 2 rescue breaths to every minute, done with hip thrusts. If response is shown, thereafter the patient should be put into the recovery position. The recovery position is one hand under the head, one hand across the chest, cross the leg, thereafter turn over the patient. Once the patient is turned over, bend the leg. Jazakallah for the demonstration. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to help mankind and bring them to deen with our acts of service, inshaAllah. Allah Ta'ala says, Udhkuruni adhkurkum, that remember me and verily I will remember you. Allah Ta'ala tells us that most definitely I will remember you. What an honor to be in the special gaze of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We therefore call upon Hafiz Hamza Ali from New Zealand to render us a kirat in which the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala can be instilled.
وجعلنا نومكم سباتا وجعلنا الليل لباسا وجعلنا النهار معاشا وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا وجعلنا سراجا وهاجا وأنزلنا من المعصرات ماء ثجاجا لنخرج به حبا ونباتا وجنات ألفافا إن يوم الفصل كان ميقاتا يوم ينفخ في الصور فتأتون أفواجا وفتحت السماء فكانت أبوابا وسيرت الجبال فكانت سرابا إن جهنم كانت مرصادا للطاغين مآبا لابثين فيها أحقابا لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا إلا حميما وغساقا جزاء وفاقا إنهم كانوا لا يرجون حسابا وكذبوا بآياتنا كذابا وكل شيء أحصيناه كتابا فذوقوا فلن نزيدكم إلا عذابا إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا صدق الله العظيم.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the purpose of life, before we get to that, the purpose of life should solely be for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, His khidmat and the service of His deen. All of us many a times fall into these worldly traps and distractions of shaitan, forgetting the true purpose of life. Regarding this, we call upon Hafidh Yahya Kasuji to give us some advice regarding this.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون صدق الله العظيم. honorable ulama, Hufaz, elders and brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the greatest bounty and the greatest ni'mat, and that is the ni'mat and bounty of Iman. The total conviction on the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the finality of the prophethood of His most beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is absolutely nothing greater than this bounty of Iman, and this will determine the success of every individual on Yawm al-Qiyamah. There is no treasure that can compare to this gift of Iman, and in comparison to this Iman, this world is most insignificant and nothing but a deception for a believer. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan and placed us in this dunya, there was one aim and objective. It was not for us to acquire and indulge in the pleasures of this world. Elaine, and if asked who is the most fortunate person or who is the most blessed person on the face of this earth, according to the standard of our living in this dunya, one would reply, the richest person or the ruler or the superpower of the world or the one who owns the most wealth or the most properties based upon our weak convictions and beliefs. But the reality, my respectable brothers, is that the most fortunate person is he who understands, encapsulates and practices on this ayat of Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created man and jinn except that they should worship me. The intelligent person, the most fortunate of insan, is he who controls his desires, takes charge of his nafs, and does not sway to the service of shaitan. That person who prepares himself for what is to come in the everlasting akhirah. Just like a farmer nurtures his fields, he exerts himself, toils day and night, so when it's time to reap the fruits and rewards, he sits back in joy and ecstasy, and he witnesses the rewards from that seed that he sowed. Similarly, this dunya is our grazing field. If we neglect our plantations, make no effort, make no preparation for the akhirah, then we'll have nothing but a failed harvest, a barren land, and a failed abode. As soon as we lose the life of Iman, we become barren, and as soon as we divert and deviate from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we face heartbreak, depression, loss and grief. We become so engrossed in this dunya, not realizing how temporary it is, and as temporary as dunya is, akhirah is everlasting. In akhirah there is no end, there is no death. It is said after 1,000 years, the people of Jahannam will call out, Ya Malik, O keeper of Jahannam, liyaqdi alayna rabbuk, tell your Lord to let us off. They will say, we are not asking for solace, for emancipation, or for salvation. All we are asking is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us die. Then the answer will come to them, innakum makithun. You will stay forever, you will remain forever, you will remain alive in this punishment forever. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order Malik, he will order him to seal up and lock up Jahannam so that they can't even speak now. Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahimahullah has explained beautifully, if a doctor tells his heart patient, if you eat certain foods you will die. If that person still goes and eats those foods, we will say he is being foolish, he is being senseless. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran that certain actions destroy our soul, destroy our iman. So why do we foolishly still do those actions? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever makes akhirah his concern, Allah will throw dunya at his feet. من كانت الآخرة همه whoever makes آخرة's concern جعل الله غناه في قلبه Allah will put richness in his heart وجمع له شمله and Allah will gather his affairs وأدته الدنيا وهي راغمة and Allah will give him dunya even though he is unwilling of it ومن كانت الدنيا همه and whoever makes dunya his concern جعل الله فقره بين عينيه Allah will place poverty between his eyes, وَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَهُ and Allah will scatter his affairs, وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا قُدِّرَ لَهُ and he will get nothing from this dunya except that what was decreed for him. My beloved brothers, it is time for us to make Allah the purpose of us living, to make akhirah our direction, to make sunnah our lifestyle, and to make the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our ultimate purpose. This world will pass and come to an end one day, but the one who will live for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never die. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Masha'Allah,
May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding of the true purpose of life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, من سلق طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. That whoever travels the path seeking knowledge, then Allah Ta'ala will most definitely make this path easy for him. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إن العالم ليستغفر له من في السماوات والأرض حتى الحيتان في الماء. That when a person goes out seeking the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all the inhabitants of the skies and the sea seek this person's forgiveness to the extent of the fish in the sea. What great virtues for the one who studies the deen of Allah Ta'ala, sacrificing the comforts of his life. The angels stand still in honor of them. For that, we like to call upon our second year class to narrate for us a few ahadith from Riyadu Salihin, a book specialized in tazkiyatun nafs, in hope that we can attain the virtues of ilm, as well with the inhabitants of the skies and the earth seeking our forgiveness till we depart.
الرحمن الرحيم. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن الله عز وجل يقول أهل الجنة يا أهل الجنة فيقولون لبيك ربنا وسعديك والخير في يديك فيقول هل رضيتم فيقولون ماذا لا نرضى يا ربنا وقد أعطيتنا ما لم تؤت أحدا من خلقك فيقول ألا أعطيكم أفضل من ذلك ويقول وأي شيء أفضل من ذلك ويقول أحل عليكم رضواني فلا أسقط عليكم بعده أبدا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is narrated from Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Verily Allah will say to the inhabitants of Jannah, O people of Jannah, they will reply, We are here of our sustainer, and we are pleased to be here. All good is in your control. Allah will ask, Are you content what I have given you? The people will say, What reason is there for us not to be pleased, O our Lord? For verily you have given us such things which we haven't given to anyone else of your creation. Allah will say, Should I not give you something more precious than that? They will reply, What could be more precious than that? Allah Ta'ala will say, I have declared my pleasure for you totally, and I will never be angered after this.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعن جرير بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال كنا عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فنظر إلى القمر ليلة البدر وقال إنكم سترون ربكم عيانا كما ترون هذا القمر لا تضامون في رؤيته. جرير بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه says, We were once with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم when he looked to the full moon. And he said, You will see your Rabb in person, just as you are seeing this full moon. Your view of him will not be blocked in looking at him.
وعن صهيب رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا دخل أهل الجنة يقول الله تبارك وتعالى تريدون شيئا أزيدكم فيقولون ألم تبيض وجوهنا ألم تدخلنا الجنة وتنجنا من النار فيكشف الحجاب فما أعطوا شيئا أحب إليهم من النظر إلى ربهم قال الله تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات يهديهم ربهم بإيمانهم تجري من تحتهم الأنهار في جنات النعيم دعواهم فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحيتهم فيها سلام وآخر دعواهم أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. وقال في مقام آخر الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is narrated from Suhaib radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the inhabitants of Jannah will enter Jannah, Allah tabaraka ta'ala will say, do you desire anything which I could give you over and above of that which I have given you? They will say, have you not enlightened our faces? Have you not entered us into Jannah? And have you not saved us from the fire? Allah ta'ala will then remove the veil. They will not be given anything more beloved than the sight of their Lord. Allah ta'ala says in the noble Quran, verily those who believe and do righteous deeds, their Lord will guide them with the iman, while rivers will be flowing from beneath them in gardens of luxury. Their call therein will be, glory be to you, O Allah. Their greeting therein will be salam, and the last call shall be, all praise is due to Allah ta'ala, the Lord of the world. All praise is due to Allah ta'ala, who guided us to this. We would have not been guided had Allah ta'ala not guided us.
Just an announcement. The premises is strictly for banned photography and videography. We request one and all to please refrain from taking any photos or videos. If one is taken, please do delete them. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the true understanding and the ability to practice on the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make us amongst those who will serve as a great benefit for our ummah. Speaking of serving the humanity, Alhamdulillah, Madrasa Radatul Islah has been blessed with a doctor, a motivator, a student, not only a student, but Madrasa Radatul Islah's first student, Hafiz Dr. Muhammad Manga, who is always ready for the service of the Madrasa. On many occasions, Dr. Manga left his family, his surgery, his home, to come and aid the students of Madrasa Radatul Islah. I remember once in Ramadan, Dr. Manga just came back from an overseas trip. 12 o'clock at night, we had an emergency, we made a call. Dr. Manga was ready for service, he took us home, he even gave us a meal 12 o'clock at night, as he just returned from overseas. May Allah Ta'ala reward Dr. immediately, immensely. We call upon Dr. Manga to give us some feedback and inspiration as a student in Madrasa Radatul Islah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وعدنا من شرور أنفسنا. They say if you wake up and your dream doesn't come true, then go back to sleep. For all of us attending Rawdatul Islah, it's like a dream come true. Alhamdulillah, through the kindness of Almighty Allah, we now have an opportunity to sit after Fajr in the company of our Mashayikh and Ustad. Not only is the company beneficial on its own, but added to this is a unique opportunity of understanding and drawing from the treasure of Quran and the Hadith. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. I take this opportunity of thanking our parents and our staff 101 sir. It's through their sacrifices and du'as we're able to attend and take benefit from Rawdatul Islah. Recently I met a businessman who had bought some hampers for his staff. The manner in which he thanked him left him embarrassed. He thought, have I ever thanked Allah Ta'ala for his kindness and bounties? Remember this jalsa is for the students, but most importantly, remember, if there's no teacher, there will be no students. Just to give you a background, we represent the senior citizens of the madrasa from ages 30 to 60. Some people think we are teaching in a madrasa because of our age, but some of the students introduce themselves as Maulana senior students. Every teacher hopes for the A student. Alhamdulillah, we blessed in our class to have the A, B, C, D, and E students. We have the accountant, the businessman, the computer man, the contractor, the doctor, and the engineer. Just to mention one virtue, may yuridillahu fihi khayra yufaqihu fi ad-din. When Almighty Allah intends good for a person, He grants him the understanding of deen. Our Ustad Maulana Ibrahim mentioned, there's no such a thing as a strong or a weak student in deen. Rather, both will get the rewards of seeking knowledge. You'd rather be a tortoise in the path of knowledge than a gazelle in the path of ignorance. Remember when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given nubuwwah around the age of 40, many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were middle aged as well. Seeking knowledge at an advanced age not only has benefits of no homework and no punishment, but one has more value and appreciation for the ustad and the lesson. No one has to force you in the morning, rather if your heart stirs for knowledge, since we are not learning for exams, but rather we learn for reflections and self-reformation. Come to the topic of working backwards. A man wants to perform Umrah, so he works backwards, planning 5 nights in Makkah Mukarramah, 5 nights in Medina Munawwara, his transport, his visa, his flights. What's the budget needed? Now let's work towards it. Imagine you see a person scrolling the whole day on Google Flights and Booking.com. You ask him, are you planning a trip? He says, no, I'm just checking. Most definitely we will say he's a foolish person. Now what about us, scrolling the whole day on our WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram? Aren't we foolish too? Everyone wants Jannah. Now work backwards to the starting point. It's the dunya with Quran. Why? Because knowledge and learning of Quran will be a guide in the dunya. It will translate into righteous actions, into righteous actions, and ultimately love of Almighty Allah, which will lead to Jannah inshallah. Let's look at a ship. It's created to sail in the ocean. Make a hole in it. When water enters, see what happens. Similarly, we are created for the Akhirah, but sail in this dunya. When a person starts to drown, the water enters his lungs. People rescue him, try to save him. They start CPR, they revive him, trying to take the water out. Then they teach him how to swim, and then they send him back to the ocean. We are drowning in this dunya. The love of the dunya has entered our heart. We can only be rescued by sitting in the company of a mashayikh and learning Quran. Then only will we be able to swim in this dunya. Recently, a security person from our street, a river for about 6 years, he came to me and said, I'm in this deen for 6 years, but I'm tired. My heart sank, thinking he wanted to leave Islam. He said, I'm tired of not knowing anything of Quran. Alhamdulillah, he made the effort, and from January, inshallah, he will be attending the Darul Uloom in Hyderabad by Maulana Imran Kaji to pursue his studies. Coming to the main point of the story of Fudayl bin Iyad, who was a highway robber. He had a life-changing moment and became a saint of the time. What was that moment? It was when he heard the verse of Quran. أَلَمْ يَأْمِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has the time not come for the believers' hearts to be affected by Quran? How is it we excel in business, in degrees, in careers, in our families, but not in Quran? I ask every person sitting here, look down, close your eyes and recite the verse of Quran and ponder. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has the time not come for the believer's heart to be affected by Quran? Let our reply be, the time has certainly come. We know how to read Quran, we know the tajweed, we listen to the qari, we all say Subhanallah Ahsanta Ya Shaykh, but we have no idea of what he is reading. Let us make the effort. no matter what's our age, endeavor to learn the language of Quran, start understanding the message. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It will become a means of guidance, protection, and a cure for all our problems. No person will ever throw a diamond. No person will ever throw a diamond. No person will ever throw a diamond away for a rock. Let us not throw away the akhirah for the dunya. Recently, I met a man who had a stroke. For the last 9 months in his bed, he had the opportunity of exploring Quran. As I entered, he started joyfully. Do you know what Quran says? Quran speaks about this. Quran tells about that. Let us not wait for a stroke, but let us utilize our time and health to gain the knowledge of Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.
JazakAllah to Dr. Manga. May Allah Ta'ala accept all the efforts of those who have sacrificed to gain knowledge and grant them the true honor and reward in the year after. Just an announcement before we continue. Can all the people on my left hand side, your right, and please move towards the center, and those behind to please come forward. Just to accommodate and create more space. Those on my left, your right, please come towards the center, and those behind, please move a little forward. To the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Madrasa Ghadatul Islah is an online class for the learning and understanding of Quran for people all around the globe, which was a big success and achievement in many of the students, despite their ages, occupation, or location. For this, we would like to call upon Irshad to give us a feedback on the online class.
All praise and thanks are due to Allah for granting us the opportunity, the time, and the ability to learn His noble Quran and to strive towards understanding its meanings. My own journey with the Quran began more than 25 years ago as a young boy when I enrolled for youth. I left only after a few weeks without completing even a single juz. Thereafter, I continued with maktab and other circular studies, but I did not maintain a consistent relationship with the Quran, other than reciting it in Ramadan, during Umrah, or occasionally during the year. Yet despite this, the desire to become a hafiz always remained in my heart. Many years passed, and then the COVID lockdown in 2020 arrived, and my relationship with the Quran renewed. In June of that year, as an adult, I restarted my hifz journey at my local masjid, which had an adult class alongside the student's class. Seeing other adults doing hifz inspired me to start again. Alhamdulillah, over the past few years, I completed a few juz, although memorizing as an adult is far more challenging than memorizing as a child. Around the same time, I began listening to the lessons from the Quran series by Mullah Ridwan, and I started reading an English translation to understand the sabak I was memorizing. Even then, I felt something missing. I wanted to understand the Quran directly from the Arabic language, not through a translation. In December 2023, my son and I enrolled for the first 3-week short course at Madrasa Rawdatul Islam. Alhamdulillah, that course ignited in me a deeper desire to study Arabic properly so that I could understand the Quran as I recited. The Towards Understanding Quran course began after Ramadan last year in 2024. With many students, including adults. At that time, due to work and other commitments, I could not attend the live classes at the madrasa, and thus I was unable to do the course. After Mashwara with Maulana, he kindly agreed to make the course available online, so that those unable to attend physically could also benefit. This year, 2025, the first online course began. And alhamdulillah, we now have male and female students across South Africa and across the globe, including students from Australia, UK, USA, UAE, Saudi Arabia, Sri Lanka, Botswana, Kenya, and other countries. Online students listen to the exact same lesson as those in the physical class and see the same content on the screen as displayed on the board in the class. Some days I try to attend in person, on other days I join online. So for me it has become a hybrid course. While nothing replaces sitting with the ustad in person, the option allows those in distant areas or with family or work commitments to still access this knowledge. As they say, half a loaf is better than none, but in reality, this course has given us much more than half a loaf. My Hifz or memorization journey is currently on pause while I complete the Towards Understanding Quran course. But my hope is to return to Hifz with a renewed ability to understand what I recite and memorize. It is mentioned regarding Shaykh al-Hadith Warana Fazlur Rahman Rahimullah that he said one of the great favors of Allah upon him is that he memorized the Quran after completing his alim course, so that he memorized with full understanding. May Allah make this a reality for all of us. Beyond my own experience, many online students have shared touching feedback. Here are a few examples. Besides the translation, I've learned so much tafsir and so many life lessons. An excellent course that explains Quran beautifully, relating it to our daily lives. Informative, beneficial, the highlight of my day. These lessons have become my lifeline to a peaceful life. When reciting Quran, I now recall words recovered in class and I begin to understand the ayah. I learned so much and it has allowed me to begin my day with Quran. Every lesson guides me in the right direction. The advices are profound and these lessons have become my lifeline to a peaceful life. It is the best, most outstanding course. It has given me direction and increased my iman and taqwa. I feel enlightened. My heart yearns for it. Through Allah's kindness, we can see progress in our understanding. When reciting Quran, words recovered in class come to mind and we begin to grasp the meaning of the ayah. So how does the course work? The online course follows the madrasa schedule, 6:20 a.m. to around 7:30 a.m. Monday to Thursday. Students join live via Microsoft Teams, or they watch the recorded lessons that are uploaded daily at their own time. What I and many other students found is that having a fixed routine is essential. If one falls behind, it becomes difficult to catch up without a set schedule. The Spiritual Life app, which forms part of the course, is available to everyone on the Apple or the Play Store. It includes brief surah explanations, vocab lists, and some basic Arabic lessons in Nahwa and Sirf. The Towards Understanding Quran course, however, covers these subjects in far greater detail. The next online course will begin after Ramadan on the 7th of April, inshallah. Sample lesson recordings and application forms are available on the Rawdatul Islam website, with applications closing on the 12th of February 2026. The online course is open to male and female students of all ages. In conclusion, I would like to express my heartfelt gratitude to Maulana for initiating this course and for opening the door of online learning to students across the world. To Brother Amir, who is in Scotland, for his immense support in developing the Spiritual Life app and the online platform. To Brother Ridwan, for his assistance with the recordings and technical support, and Muhammad, for his help with the website. Our sincere dua is that this course and courses like this become available in every community and every masjid worldwide. May Allah keep us connected to His book, allow us to understand the beauty of the Arabic language, and make the Quran a light, a guide, and a companion for us in this world and the next. Jazakumullahu khair.
We say Jazakallah to Rishad. What an motivation for our mothers and fathers, all family across the globe, and an opportunity for all of us to learn and understand the noble Quran despite our ages and backgrounds. أما بعد نشرف هذا المجلس بتقديم القارئ الفاضل الذي يطري بتلاوته القلوب وتخشع لصوتي النفوس وانهمرت بمقالة ربنا الجموع رجاء أنها يزيدنا إيمانا وأحسن خلقنا إحسانا إنعمنا الله بها إنعاما. نقدم لكم الآن القارئ الفاضل الخاشع صاحب الصوت النديم حذيفة اليونان من بربيدوس.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون. فعلم ما لم تعلموا فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. محمد رسول الله. والذين معه أشداء من الله ورضوانا. سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود. ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل. في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآذره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزرع ليغيظ بهم الكفار. وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداع إذا دعان. أجيب دعوة الداع إذا دعان. فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم.
concern to MashaAllah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. We say Jazakallah to Qari Huzaifa Luna. What beautiful words that contain such deep and profound meanings. Allah Ta'ala, may Allah Ta'ala grant us all the understanding of the noble Quran. To give us a little insight regarding the verse that was recited, we call upon Hafiz Muhammad Gundiwala.
InshaAllah, we will try to translate and give a brief explanation of the second ayah which was recited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Quran is hudan linnas. It's a guidance for the entire mankind. And any problem which any person on this earth has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the solution in Quran. Any person's problem, he will find his solution in Quran. Unfortunately, because we don't understand the language and we have abandoned the Quran, the most valuable thing on the surface of this earth, hence every one of us finds ourselves in problems without any solution, when all the solutions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in Quran. Quran is like an ocean. The deeper a person goes in, the more valuable and precious pearls this person will find. So the ayah which was recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servants ask you about me, then certainly I am close. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I immediately respond to the call of the one who is calling whenever he calls upon me. So the first word in this ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses is إِذَا. إِذَا means when. So there's a difference between if and when. When a person says if, it means it can happen but it might not happen. When a person says when, it means this person is expecting it to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say if my servants ask you about me. Allah says when my servants ask you about me. There's a tawakkuh, there's an expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are going to ask about him. And then the next word, sa'ala. So in Arabic, idha is used with the past tense and with the present tense. So when it's used with the present tense, it would be idha yas'aluka. When it's used with the present tense, it means continuous. So it would be when my servants continuously ask you about me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the past tense. And the past tense, yushir ila marra wahida. It indicates to one time. So when my servants ask you one time about me. And then the next word, ibadi. So we know in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to himself in three ways. Either he, either we, or either I. So Mufassirin explain, when does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use I and my in Quran? It's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to exhibit extreme love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to exhibit extreme anger. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exhibiting extreme love. He says, Ibadi, my servants. When my servants ask you regarding me. Now, let's do this ayah in English. When my servants ask you, O Nabi of Allah, regarding me, then say to them, I am close. That's how we would understand it. فَقُلْ لَهُمْ إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when my servants ask you regarding me, then verily I am close. Allah says, I'm so close to you that I'll answer this question myself. I will not even give it to the Nabi of Allah to answer your question. I am so close, I will answer it myself. Do you have any doubt? Why do I ask this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni. Inna in Arabic is used li'izalati shak, to remove any doubt in a person's mind. There is no doubt I am close. And then the word qareeb itself. Qareeb is ism sifa. It's a permanent quality. So to understand this, a person comes to the jalsa in the morning and he doesn't have breakfast. And this person is a tall person. So he's got two qualities on him. One is hunger and one is his soul. After the jalsa completes, he goes and he eats. Then you'll ask him, are you hungry? He'll say no. Why? Because hunger was a temporary quality. But if you look at him, he's still tall. Because tall is a permanent quality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni qareeb. Qareeb is a permanent quality. I am permanently always close. Meaning in the dead of night when you're crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at tahajjud time, Allah says, I'm so close. But when Allah says, I'm always close, it means when you're in the middle of the greatest sin you can commit, you might not even be in the state of purity, you might be in the filthiest of places, but Allah says, even death time, Inni qareeb, I'm so close to you. Even at death time, in the depths of filth, if you call unto me, I will answer your dua. What is the next ayah? Ujibu. Allah says, I'm so close, at any time when you ask me, I will answer. To understand this word qareeb, example, there's a class, there's a whole lot of students. The ustad is outside. They're making noise, they're laughing, they're joking. Automatically, when the ustad walks in, there's silence. Why? Because the ustad came close. So when a person understands Allah is close, as he's in this world doing actions and he's about to commit a sin, if he understands my Allah is so close to me, he'll feel too shy to commit that sin. This is inni qareeb, I'm so close to you. Then the next part of the ayah, ujibu. So in Arabic there's a difference between istijaba and ijaba. Istijaba means I will accept it gradually. And ijaba means immediate acceptance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will immediately accept the dua. The person is saying, I'm sick, I'm making dua for so long. I'm looking to get married, I got the financial problem, I'm looking for a job. I'm stuck in a sin, I can't get out. I'm making so much dua, Allah's not responding. Allah says, ujibu, I respond immediately. The answer to your dua and the result you will see when Al-Hakim knows it's the best time. But when does he respond immediately? So you'll think if Allah is responding immediately, it must be a person making a lot of dua. Allah says, da'wata. I respond to the one dua. One dua. Da'wata means one dua. So a person will say, Allah is responding immediately to one dua, it must be a pious person, ujibu da'wat al-salih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ujibu da'wat al-da'. Is that even a qualification? In order for your du'as to be accepted, you need to be a caller. Al-da' means someone who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only quality you need to have for Allah to respond to your du'a is what? To be a caller. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make you nakira. Allah makes you ma'rifa. Allah doesn't say da'wata da'in. Da'in means a caller, some random person. Allah says ad-da'i. I will immediately accept the one dua of this specific caller, this specific person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you known. Allah doesn't say you only made one dua your whole life. Allah says, you made just one dua, I will respond to it, and I will make you known in my eyes, and make you known in the heavens. And then, when a person decides, you know, I got a problem, so I'm going to go to a king. Let's say, at 2 o'clock today, just make an appointment with the king or the president. You say, it doesn't work like that. You can't just decide when you want to go. The king, the president is a busy person. So you have to make an appointment. He'll tell you, come after 6 months. So when will Allah respond to us? Person asks, when's a good time to make dua? When is Allah going to respond? Allah says, إِذَا whenever da'ani, he calls upon me. The king of all kings, call him at 2 o'clock in the morning, at night, in the afternoon, at any time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whenever my servant calls upon me, I will respond to him. We'll end on a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ كَرِيمٌ يَسْتَحِي إِذَا رَفَعَ الرَّجُلُ إِلَيْهِ يَدَيْهِ أَنْ يَرُدَّهُمَا صِفْرًا خَائِبَتَيْنِ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes shy when a servant lifts up his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah becomes shy to return that person empty-handed and disappointed. My beloved brothers, let us all make dua ifatara wa life. And through dua and talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will make us from among His beloved. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all deep understanding of Quran. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
JazakAllah khairan. May Allah ta'ala accept His efforts and make us all amongst those whose du'as are accepted readily and make us understand the deep understanding, make us understand the deep meanings of Quran. Quran has given us every single way, style, direction, solution to anything we face, the way we love, the heartache we may feel. It's really a magnificent manual for a believer's life. And the best part is that it's not any person's manual. Rather, it is the direct dictation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, filled with His infinite wisdom. To gain further understanding on how to love our lives using the Quran, we call upon Hafiz Muhammad Baraz from Barbados to give us some insight regarding this.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. My dear respected brothers and elders, every single Nabi, every single Anbiya came with a miracle. But it was one miracle from the galaxy of the Anbiya's that was more unique than all the other miracles, and that was the miracle of the Quran. So why was this miracle so unique? Number one, because it lasted even after the Prophet went away. So it's alive till today. And number two, hudan lil muttaqin, it is guidance for the muttaqin, for the believers. But what is so more amazing is also give guidance to disbelievers to become Muslim. I was in Hajj 2 years ago in Arafah, my neighbor next to me, so the air condition went away, so it became very hot, so he took off his top garment. So then after I saw some hectic tattoos on him. So then after I wanted to ask him what was his story. So I got comfortable with him, and after a while I asked him that, what was your story, like, you know, what was the past? He said before he was not a Muslim. He said that he used to get whispers, so any problem came to him in his life, the whispers used to come to him, he followed the whispers and life go on, it was good. He said one day the whispers went away, he felt God went away. He felt Allah went away, it was his God. So then after, he said he went to every religion possible. He said he went looking into Judaism, Hinduism, Christianity. He said he searched and he searched, and he never found back that God again. So he said he went in the Quran. He said he never wanted to look into Islam because Islam was a very bad religion in front of him. So he said he opened the Quran, the first ayat he saw was in shaddil waswasil khannas, that when the devil whispers to you, he hold back. He said that when the devil whispers to me, he said that he never had God from the first day. He said he went up few ayats. He said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ had اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. He said, Allah is one, Allah is independent. He said, the Hindus believe in so many gods. Allah say, one God. He said, he started reading the Quran. He said, he saw ذَلِكَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ أَوْلَى الْحَقِّ الَّذِي فِيهِ يَمْتَرُونَ. He said, he saw, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمْ. He said, he saw that really Isa alayhi salam is the son of Maryam. So what you saying? What you denying? So he got a shock. He started reading the Quran. He said, he read the Quran. Then after he saw that in the Quran have Musa alayhi salam and about the Jews, the Bani Israel, so many times that he got shocked. You know how many times that Musa alayhi salam comes in the Quran? 136 times he comes in the Quran. He got a shock, he said he became Muslim. He said, but the most important thing is not he became a Muslim because of the Quran. He said, till today he had the Quran in his hand. He said, any problem I have, I don't go to no scholar, go to the Quran. He goes to the Quran. My brothers, what do me and you go to? Who has our guidance? You know, every lover has two qualities. One is when he speaks to the person, he gets close to the person. And the second thing is when he's with the person, he gets more close to the person. When we read the Quran, is we with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we hold in the Quran, is we with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. So we speak in and we with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a lover. You know, every father says, I want to give my child everything I never had.
So I would give him education, I would give him money, I would give him a car, that he don't suffer in this world. But I never heard a father say that I never had the Quran, I want to give my son the Quran. I never had the Quran, let me give my son the Quran. One time a father told his son, oh my son, watch your steps. The son said, oh my father, watch your steps because I'm following your footsteps. So my brothers, we have to have Quran in our life. The Quran is not for the little child, it's the male and the female. It's for the male and the female. Every Sahaba was not a hafiz. But every Sahaba, when he had a problem in his life, he turned to the Quran, then the Sunnah. What we turn to, my brothers, that is my Ustad Maridwan, his objective in life is to go back to the Quran, because any problem you have is the Quran. Umar radiallahu anhu was having a moment of himself. Then after he said, كيف تختلف هذه الأمة وكتابها واحد ونبيها واحد وقبلتها واحد. He said, how will this Ummah and why will this Ummah fall into problems when we have one book, we have one Nabi and one Qibla? And he had no answer. He called Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه. He said, what is the answer of this? Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه said, you will not be prepared for my answer, but I will tell you the answer. He said, إِنَّا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا الْقُرْآنِ فَقَرَأْنَاهُ وَعَلِمْنَاهُ. He said, the Quran was revealed. We read it and we understood it. He said, a nation will come after. يَقْرَأُونَ الْقُرْآنِ وَلَا يَعْرِفُونَ فِي مَنَزَلْ. He said that they will read the Quran. They will read the Quran, but they will not even know the injunctions of the Quran. They will not know why was the Quran revealed. They will not know the meaning of the Quran because they will not know where to turn back to. That's when the problems will come in the Ummah. You know, our problems in life, the solution is the Quran. And when you have the Quran in life, you will have a very good ending. My grandmother was a very, very pious woman. She was a very pious woman. She had many, many qualities in her life. But one beautiful quality she had, that she will always read the Quran when I come to visit her. Every time I came to visit her, she's reading the Quran. So when she passed away, the most beautiful thing I saw in my life, everyone fights for inheritance, the money. They say, who's getting the money? But my uncles, my aunties, they fought, who's getting the Quran of my grandmother? Who will get the Quran of my grandmother? My brothers, when me and you pass away, what will they fight for? Imam Shafi'i says, رَيْتُ الْعِلْمَ صَاحِبُهُ كَرِيمٌ وَلَوْ وَلَدَتْهُ أَبَاءُ النَّئِيمُ. That I saw the people of Quran, the people of knowledge, being risen to the highest level, even though they came from a broken home. رَيْتُ الْعِلْمَ صَاحِبُهُ كَرِيمٌ وَلَوْ وَلَدَتْهُ أَبَاءُ النَّئِيمُ. My brothers, I want to end with this last thing. That we know on the day of Qiyamah, everyone focus with me. We know on the day of Qiyamah, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nafsi ummati ummati. And we have hope for that, inshallah, Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercedes for us, inshallah. But when I read the Quran in Turkey one day, I came across a verse that till today, every time I read the Quran, it makes me shivers. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself will complain to Allah about the Ummah, about us. What he will say, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِي اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. He will say, Oh my Rabb, my Ummah, my nation. He will say, مَهْجُورًا. That they actively never knew the Quran. No, they left the Quran. He said he's wrong. They actively never knew the Quran. My brother, it's time to turn the Quran, because the Quran is the way of life. Remember one thing. This Quran is for yourself, not yourself. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانِ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
MashaAllah, may Allah Ta'ala make us among the Ahlul Quran. And make the Quran an intercessor on our behalf in the Qabr and in the hereafter. And inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an intercessor for us as well. Allah Ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That verily in the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a wonderful example for mankind. His character, his etiquette, his morals, his obedience to Allah Ta'ala, a real ideal in which we should all look. And bring that, we need to first create the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. We will now call upon Hafiz Yusuf Rawat to render us an nasheed on this topic.
الله الرحمن الرحيم شفيع مطاع نبي كريم شفيع مطاع نبي كريم قصيم جسيم بسيم وسيم شفيع الأنام مطاع المقام كريم الكرام نبي الأنيم أسيل رسيل كحيل جميل صبيح مليح مطيب الشميم مفاض الجبين كبدر مبين بثغر بسيم كدر يتيم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم شفاء العليل رواه الغليل ببشر محيا ونشر لقيم رسول وصول ولي حفيظ أمين مكين عزيز عظيم صدوق فروق فصيح نصيح عروف عطوف رؤوف رحيم شفيق رقيق خليق طليق صفوح نصوح عفو حليم مجيب منيب نقيب نجيب حسيب نسيب ونور قديم بشير نذير سراج منير خبير بصير دليل عليم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم دليل وهاد سبيل الرشاد وخير العباد ثمان العديم تقي نقي صفي وفي وجيه النبي مبين حكيم هدى مقتدى مصطفى الأصفياء صبور شكور مقفى مقيم ومزمل ثم مدثر سعيد رشيد خليل كريم عفيف حنيف حبيب خطيب هو القدوة الأسوة المستقيم نبي النبيين والمرسلين وطه وياسين فيض عميم نبي الورى سيد الأنبياء نجي الإله جليل فخيم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إمام الهدى رحمة العالمين غياث الورى مستغاث العظيم أحيد وحيد مجيد حميد وخير البرايا بفضل جسيم وأسرى به ربه في السماء كنور تجلى بليل بهيم وآتاه ما شاءه من علا وأوحى إليه بوحي رقيم فأكرم بشأن سني بهي وعز عزيز وجاه قويم فيا رب صلي وسلم علي متى فاح طيب ووافى نسيم وأن عافني وعف عن ذلتي وأن عاف عافني واعف عن ذا التي إلهي بجاه النبي الكريم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
MashaAllah, what a beautiful description written by Mulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri. May Allah Ta'ala instill the true love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our heart. My beloved Ustad mentioned that you get two types of love. One type of love is known as tabi'i love. This is that love which comes naturally in a person's heart. That for example, you are a sheikh and you get inclined to him and change your life. Then that natural love comes inside a person. And the second type of love is that type of love which you fall in love with a person which you haven't seen. The type of love needs effort. This is called kasbi love. It doesn't come naturally, but rather it is earned. By studying his life, understanding his love, and the pain he went through for us. May Allah Ta'ala turn our love from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from kasbi into tabi'i, inshaAllah. Next on the agenda.